Ascot is pulling out all the stops for Royal Ascot. That's right, it's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting prize favourite wins on one race each day of the festival. Check out the app for today's race. Max free bet £10. Exclude shop bets. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome to Royal Ascot for our preview of day two of the world's greatest flat meeting. And joining myself, Lee Mottershead, our Racing Post colleagues, Lewis Porteous, Antonio Hare, and from our lovely sponsors, Paddy Power, Mr. Paul Binfield. And day two has a major break with tradition. For as long as most of us can remember, the day has started with the Jersey Stakes. On this occasion, that becomes the last race, and the day opens with the Queen Mary Stakes. Paul Binfield, what's your take on this radical move?
I didn't really have much of a take on it, Lee. I do enjoy the Jersey Stakes, but I enjoy the Queen Mary as well. So a bit of a curveball. You didn't warn me about that one. I don't have a take on it, really.
No. Well, so not quite the incisive comments I'd hoped from you, Bin, is there on that one? But what about the Queen Mary then? How are you betting on the new opening race today too?
Well, we go the American Raider is 7-4 favourite, Lee. Then it's 11-2 Shades of Blue, 6 So Perfect, and it's 14-1 Bar.
Okay. Lewis, Chelsea Cloisters, Wesley Ward, are you going with the obvious way of finding the Queen Mary winner?
I couldn't back it. What is it, about 7-4 shot? What are we talking at the moment?
7-4.
I mean, it's too short. He's got a great record in the race, going for his fourth win. I spoke to him a couple of weeks ago. He couldn't get this name off his lips quick enough. I mean, he really thinks she's a real deal. If she wins, brilliant. But at 7-4 on a horse that's travelled halfway across the world, it wouldn't be for me personally, but I won't be shocked if she wins 3, 4, 5 lengths.
Of all the horses that Wesley spoke about, Lewis, was she the one that he seemed the most revved up by?
Certainly the juvenile team, which, by all accounts, is perhaps the strongest he's sent. This one, he thinks she's a proper turf filly, so whatever the weather throws, he says she absolutely skips on any ground. He wouldn't have even minded rain for her, which is incredible. He clearly holds her in really high regard. But there's no secrets about these horses anymore, and everyone wants a piece of the Ward action. And 5-2 when her name was first mentioned, fair enough. But 7-4, it's too short now, I think.
Not a fair reward.
Certainly not.
Okay. What is the winner then?
I like the Jessica Harrington horse, Servalan. She beat So Perfect, Aidan O'Brien's filly last time, and she was really strong at the finish, and that's what I liked about her. She ran through the line hard. This stiff 6 furlongs is going to really suit, and a trainer who can do no wrong under any codes. I just think at a double figure price, she should run well.
Okay, producer Jack, we had a major public address intervention there. We got to carry on. Yeah, Jack says carry on. Tony, Lewis is going for an Irish winner of the Queen Mary. Are you?
I think so. I think Servalan has a big chance. Won a listed race very well. Beach So Perfect, who didn't have best of luck in running in the race and had won nicely first time out. I could see So Perfect being closer this time. But of the four Irish runners in the race, we also have Gossamer Wings, who's improving, sort of won nicely last time. And Johnny Murta runs filly called YOLO again, small, speedy, won at Navan on her third start. Probably not quite good enough, but Servalan will be my pick for the race.
Okay, and Ben is your winner?
I quite like Kodiana each way, Lee, for Richard Fahey. She improved for her Nottingham debut, winning the Hillary Needler last time at Beverley. Showed a nice turn of foot, only won it, but she did what she had to. And I think Richard Fahey seems to have some nice juveniles, and she's a fair price.
Excellent, thanks, sir. We move then from that into the Queen's Vase, the new race two. On day two, Paul, how are Paddy Power betting?
Well, we're 11-4 favourite Kew Gardens. Disappointed in the derby, but we think he might be better in this. 100-30 Nelson, 4 Southern France, Stream of Stars, and it's 12 Barley.
Okay, Tony, a really powerful challenge from Aidan O'Brien.
Yeah, Kew Gardens down the drain in the derby last time. Two previous runs were sort of good enough to give him a decent chance. Ryan Moore picks him. He's quite exposed, so was Nelson, Dunnock O'Brien's mount. And maybe Southern France is only having his fourth run, won his last two, won a listed race nicely over a mile and five at Navan last time. Jamie Heffernan rides, I think he could be the pick of the three. Joseph O'Brien runs Draper's Guild, who was second to Southern France at Navan. Could have a bit of an outside chance, but my pick would be Southern France.
Okay. Binnie's, Mark Johnson has got a great record in the race. He's also been very critical about the reduction in the distance from 2 miles to 1.6 miles. Yeah. Will he be happy or complaining after the race, do you think?
Well, I guess it all depends how he gets on, Lee, won't it? But, you know, I'm a great traditionalist, actually.
Didn't say that about the jerseys.
Yeah, no, I've had time to think about it now, Lee, and I don't think swapping the races around is the right thing to do.
No, it's confusing, isn't it?
It's very confusing, especially for people like Tony, who have been here for more than 10 years.
Years? How many years have you been coming, Tony?
30.
30 years. Like, how on earth is Tony going to cope with that sort of change?
And how will you cope with this sort of change, Tony?
I think I'll manage it at this stage, yeah. I'll take anything that comes.
He's taking a brave attitude.
Great traditionalist, though. I agree. 2 miles. Keep things as they are, Lee. We don't need all these changes. He'll be pleased if he wins the race, though, I would say.
Yes, that is almost certainly the case. Lewis, who wins the Queen's Arse?
I roll this out every year, but only 5 trainers have won this since 2000. Only 3 of them are represented, Gosden, O'Brien and Johnson. I'm with Tony. I like Southern France. I couldn't believe how Aidan sort of spoke really fondly of this horse after it won last time at Navan. I thought Moore would ride it, he's not, but Shamie Effman, that's fine. And there is also quite a good whisper for the Gosden horse, Stream of Stars, stepping up markedly in class, but apparently this horse is going very well in the gallops.
Excellent, so generally positive words for Southern France in the Queen Vase, and that brings us to the end of part one.
Paddy's pulling out all the stops for Royal Ascot. That's right, it's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting prize favourite wins on one race each day of the festival. Check out the app for today's race. Max free bet £10. Exclude shop bets. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to our preview of day 2 at the Royal Meeting. Day 3 is the Duke of Cambridge Stakes for the fillies and mares down the straight mile. And we have a hot favourite, do we not, Mr. Binfield?
We do. Hydrangea, 7-4 favourite lead. And it's 9-2 El Jazzy, 13-2 Wilhelmina, 15-2 Tomiris, and 10-1 Arabian Hope, 12-1 Bar.
And Paul, is Hydrangea a horse that you think will be backed or will drift on the day?
I guess we'll have to wait and see how Maiden's horses get on the opening day, Lee, but she definitely have the profile of horse who could attract money. If I'm asked for a horse, I'd quite like Tribute Act for James Fangshaw, second in a course and distance handicap last month, and they've supplemented her for 15,000. I think that tells its own story. James Fangshaw, very shrewd trainer, and I don't think he'd be supplementing if she didn't have a chance.
Tony, Hydrangea, wonderfully versatile filly, won the Matron and the 9.5 race here on Champions Day, but beaten first time out. Would that be a concern to you?
Slight concern, but before that race at the Curra, Aidan, who's inclined to say the same thing about a lot of his horses having their first run, would come on a lot from the race. She'll need to. Yeah. But as you say, she proved her versatility at the top level last year. And at the start of the season, down in Ballydoyle for a stable tour, he was talking about her as a filly who he could see maybe developing into an archetype later in the year. That's a different job that she has to face this time. But I think if she improves, and even with the Group 1 penalty, if she improves from the current run, I think she'll be hard to beat.
I think that's probably a pretty fair take on the race. Lewis, are you a Hydrangea fan of this one too?
I like her, but I might regret this, but I'd want to take her on. Fillies with a penalty in this race have a notorious bad record. Classy fillies like Sorpresa were beaten, and it's usually a four-year-old without a penalty that comes out on top. At a price, I like Arabian Hope of Saeed bin Saroz. Placed in the Falmouth last year, rattling fast ground, she absolutely adores. She's, like I say, she's got the form at the top level, and without a penalty, I think she might be able to upset Hydrangea.
Okay, an upset there from Lewis planned in the Duke of Cambridge. We move on to race 4, and it's the most valuable and most prestigious race of the Royal Meeting, the Prince of Wales Stakes, in which this year, Paul Binfield, we have a seriously hot favourite.
We do, yes. We're money back all losers if Cracksman wins this race, Lee, so that looks fairly generous. Cracksman, 8-13 favourite, 4-1 Poet's Word, 10 Cliffs of Mohair and Eminent, Hawkbill, and it's 40-1 Bar.
And Paul, just going back to the Coronation Cup, yeah. I thought was a really interesting sort of betting story after that race, because the bookies push Cracksman out from an odds-on position in the Prince of Wales. He's to some really big prices, 11-4, 3-1 straight after the race. What did Paddy Power do?
Yeah, we went 11-4 immediately after the race, Lee. We weren't convinced about the performance, and we weren't even sure that the horse would run in the race. Yep. So we went 11-4. That price was far too big. The punters came for him straight away, and we ended up the day at 6-4. He's been back to every price down and to this 8-13 now.
So the compilers who went that 11-4, they're probably watching this with sweaty palms.
Well, I mean, immediately after the race, fair play to the Sylvester Kirk horse, he ran an absolute blinder, but the form of that race he wouldn't be too impressed with, so you can see why they did it. But punters, as I say, they think that's far too big, and they've reacted accordingly.
Lewis, you've taken some bold positions in this postcast so far. Mr. Bold, Cracksman, are you taking him on?
I don't think you can, to be honest. All I say about the Coronation Cup is that if you look behind, there's Idaho, there's Hawkbill, and while Cracksman didn't run to his form, he still had those a mile back. I thought it was a D'Souza Masterclass that almost got it beat. I just think this flat course with the uphill finish suits Cracksman. He looked brilliant in the Champion Stakes last season. This more conventional course and maybe a bit more forceful tactics, I think he'll be a long way clear at the finish.
Would you have any concerns about the ground for him? He probably won't have run on ground as quick as this.
I can't see it being an issue. They don't seem to be worried at home about it. That could be one thing you could factor into it, but I just think he's versatile. I think he's just very good, and he had an off day at Epsom, and I expect him to be at his best here.
Okay. Tony, Cliffs of Moher going for Ballydoyle. He finished in front of Cracksman in the Derby. Probably won't this time, will he?
I don't think so, no. I don't think so. Aidan O'Brien has won the race three times, Duke of Marmalade, so you'd think Highland Reel. All of them were proven Group 1 winners going into the race. This fella hasn't won a Group 1. Okay, he was second in the Derby last year. He ran okay at the Curra last time, second to Lancaster Bomber, who would have been here but for a foot problem. I can see him finishing second or third, but I can't make any strong case for him winning the race.
You can make a strong case of Cracksman, though.
Yeah, very, very much so.
Okay, and of course, well, not of course, in a nice little sort of titty bit of information, this won't be the first time Cracksman has raced at Royal Ascot. A horse called Cracksman ran in the 1961 King George V Stakes, finishing unplaced, trained by Dick Hearn. This one has rather better prospects.
Paddy's pulling out all the stops for Royal Ascot. That's right, it's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting prize favourite wins on one race each day of the festival. Check out the app for today's race. Max free bet £10. Exclude shop bets. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to Ascot, where our new signature tune is playing over the public address as we look forward to races 5 and 6 on day 2 of the Royal Meeting with myself, Lee Mottershead, Lewis Porches, Tony O'Hare and Paul Binfield. And Paul, a nice easy one for race 5, the Royal Hunt Cup.
Yeah, it is easy, Lee, this race. And because it's so easy, we're going to go 6 places, which is so generous.
Six
places each way. It's so generous, it's unbelievable. Anyway, we go 8-1 favourite Afark, 10 Saltonstall, Settle for Bay, 12 Escobar, Kaiser Soze, and 14-1 Bar.
And now please forensically dissect the Royal Hunt Cup.
Well, I don't know if I can forensically dissect it, but I can come up with Kinran. I think you always get a run for your money with this horse. David Barron coming down, very shrewd trainer. The horse is very, very consistent. Ran a nice second in the Whitson Cup at Sandown, and I expect him to go well if stall 11 is beneficial. And that's anyone's guess, I imagine.
Okay. Lewis, a really interesting horse I thought here was Master Merrin for your mucker Wesley Ward. How on earth does a handicapper try and work out what rating, well, he has done, what rating that all should get?
I know, it's mission impossible, isn't it? They'll have to throw a number at it and hope they get it right. Wesley did say that the figures, the speed figures this horse ran in America, he thought they compared favourably with past winners of the Hunt Cup. He thinks it's a live runner, but it won't be the usual bolt out in front. This one will be held up. And they thought long and hard about the jockey booking, and they've come down with Ryan Moore, which But they left it late. They wanted the right jockey who would suit the horse, and he will be playing it late. But Ward does think that it's certainly a runner.
And is he a winner for you?
Not for me. I've had Afak on my radar since it won at York. It looked Hunt Cup winner all over. The group horse in a handicap, those days are gone really. It's such a compressed handicap. They almost already need to be a group horse, but surely this horse is on its way to better things. I'm a bit disappointed with the draw in 17. I prefer to be on either flank. And I'll probably be having savers on Sultan Stall from another Irish horse. Mick Alford won it with Portage 2 years ago. This has got the progressive profile quite similar. And one of my cliff horses, Firmament, who I always back, but he does save his best for York and Ascot, and he's dropped to a handicap mark. He can be competitive off now. So, and one's drawn high, one's drawn low. So three against the field.
Very exciting news. Firmament is my best bet of the day. That's good news, isn't it?
Danny Tuddo, sometimes O'Meara runs two in these big handicaps, and he ends up with Tuddo goes on the other one. Danny Tuddo is a key to this horse. He gets on really well with him, so I think it'll run a place.
Fingers crossed. Tony, Lewis was making the point that the Halford stable come into this race with a horse who does bear a very similar profile to their previous winner of the race.
Yes, until Portage won the race 2 years ago. We hadn't won the Hunt Cup since 1966, so it's not a race we have a particularly good record.
You've done great in the Gold Cup, man.
Oh yeah, but we're talking about the Hunt Cup. Sultan Stall, yeah, won nicely last day at the Curragh. William Buick rides, has a £5 penalty, has an obvious chance, but I certainly wouldn't rule out our other runner, Settle for Bay, trained by David Marnay, and he's done most of his winning on the all-weather at Dundalk, but he was unlucky in running on his last start at Leopardstown. I think he's drawn 22. I think he's a good each-way chance.
Okay, excellent. And the day ends with the Jersey Stakes, mentioned slightly earlier on. Binner just run down the leading contenders.
Yeah, well, we're five places in this, Lee, so we're just giving stuff away.
Six in the Hunt Cup and five in this.
Yeah, exactly.
How many in the Prince of Wales Stakes?
Prince of Wales Stakes, just the three in the Prince, two in the Prince of Wales, Lee.
That's a blow,
but only seven runners, you see, so... but anyway, as I say, five places each way in the Jersey. Five Emirati, seven Could It Be Love, eight Expert Eye and Headway, 10 James Garfield and Society Power, and it's 12-1 Barley.
And Tony Hare, the Jersey winner is?
The Jersey winner, possibly Could It Be Love, one of two for Aidan O'Brien, second in the Irish 1000 Guineas. Ryan Moore rides Prefer Her to her stablemate St. Patrick's Day, who is interesting, a brother to American Pharaoh, was due to have his first run for Aidan at Leopardstown last week, but banged his head in the stalls, sinus bled and was withdrawn, but he's fine, he's here. An interesting runner, but Prefer Could It Be Love, brother bear for Jessica Harrington, fourth in the Coventry last year, won last time out at Nace, has his chance, but I'll go with the filly, Could It Be Love.
Okay, Lewis, Emirati, cost just a 2.6 million guineas. Heads here to the Jersey after an excellent run at Goodwood under a big weight.
Yeah, it looked good at Goodwood. I just got it in the back of my mind that sort of maybe the classic form is what you want here. You know, horses that have already run at high level and are dropping down, whereas Emirati's on the way up. However, there's not an awful lot to choose from in that department. I quite like James Garfield. He ran well in the Guineas over maybe a trip too far. Dropped back to 6 furlongs in the sandy lane. Probably happened a bit too quick. And I think 7 furlongs is his optimum. The issue is he's got the penalty for the Greenham win. And that might just be a bit... might just overphase him a little bit. I might have a few quid on Society Power, who, a bit like Emirati, is on the way up. Won its last five. Winner over course and distance. Just a tough... really tough. Just... tough as nails, loves a battle and might run well at a price, but it's not a race I've got a huge strong views on, to be honest.
No, it's tough. But is any chance that Sir Michael can work the Oracle and get Expert Eye back to that Goodwood form?
I think he definitely can lead. This is my bet of the week, actually, Expert Eye. I just read a very interesting piece with Sir Michael in your Sunday newspaper a couple of weeks ago. He still believes in the horse. The only two times he's run badly have both been on the Roly Mile. He's run well everywhere else, including in the Greenham. back to the 7 furlongs. I think Expert Eye has got a massive chance and a big price at 8-1, Lee.
Okay, your bet of the week.
Bet of the week, Expert Eye.
Yeah. Of all 30 races?
Of all 30 races, Expert Eye.
Blimey. All 30 races, Binner's bet of the meeting is Expert Eye. Tony, your bet of the day is?
Could it be love in the jersey?
Could it be love for Tony in the jersey? I'm saying Firmament in the Hunt Cup. Lewis, you're saying?
I'll go Southern France in the Vase.
That is day two of Royal Ascot Sorted. Join us again tomorrow for our day three preview.
Paddy's pulling out all the stops for Royal Ascot. That's right, it's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting prize favourite wins on one race each day of the festival. Check out the app for today's race. Max free bet £10. Exclude shop bets. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Begambleaware.org.